Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
I have Javi Martín with me this morning. Can I just say, firstly, how beautifully turned out you are this morning, dressed immaculately.
Well, I am very, very happy that you are happy with me. You know, for such an important occasion.
Oh, steady. Firstly, congratulations on all your great work with the National Symphony Orchestra. It's lovely to have you here this morning, but you are a busy boy. You're just back from London. You're working in London. Why are you doing some work?
Well, I was in London because I live in London.
Ah, that's home now, yes.
Last week I was in Sweden, I spent the weekend at home. And actually, it was a very busy weekend because I have to take my son to set him up at university. He's going to do a master's in Brighton. So I spent the weekend driving him and taking all this stuff and setting up his room and his new life, which, things in the end, yes. This is how life is. I mean, you know, when I am doing orchestras or concerts, my mind is 100% on that.
Yes.
But, you know, my family, my sons...
Are very important.
So
how many children do you have?
I have two boys. They are 25 and 23.
So one of them has gone to Brighton.
Yeah.
And what about the other guy?
The other guy, he studied... he finished few years ago, university. And he works now for a consultancy company in London. And at the moment, he took a month off and he's hiking mountains in Guatemala.
No.
Yes.
Crikey. So when you all get together, it must be a very big deal for the family, because you're all scattered everywhere.
You know, we met, the four of us, we were together end of August. We went to Spain,
yes,
north of Spain, and we had a fantastic time. I mean, this is, you know, all of us do different things. My wife is a musician also. She plays principal bassoon in the London Symphony Orchestra. She's traveling all the time and doing things. But when we are together, we enjoy so much.
That's fantastic.
So nice. It's like it's family. Like,
of course, but difficult at that rate to get everybody together.
That's why it's even more special.
Yeah, very, very difficult. Now, first things first, you started with the National Symphony Orchestra. Five years ago you began.
Yes, I started. It was the year, my first season was when the season of pandemic. I started in September, and a few months later, in February, March, then suddenly the whole activity had to stop.
That's right.
That was 5 years ago.
That's right. And everything was online. A lot of stuff online.
That was a very tricky time. And actually for that, RT was a fantastic... help and vehicle for the orchestra, because during that time was at the time with every orchestra, and actually not the orchestras, we all were paralyzed.
That's right.
And from the orchestra was this big desire to continue and to find a way to work together. So the orchestra found a way to get the kind of status of essential workers somehow, because of part of the radio. And help people where they were at home.
And it did help people.
And I am so happy we did that. You know, it was very difficult to organize that. I remember the general manager of the orchestra, Anthony Long, at that time, he really managed to get a testing facility outside the concert hall.
Yes.
Because of course the import was difficult, how to do it, that everybody felt safe.
That's right.
The distance we had to play in a concert hall, but with a very small orchestra, people very far away.
Yes.
But at these performances, the fact that we played live for the people on Fridays, that was not a pre-recorded thing, but people knew now at this moment these people are sweating there.
Yes, for sure.
And I think, actually, 2 weeks ago when I did the opening concert for this season, the Symphony Fantastique, somebody came to say, look, this was so important. Those concerts online, and I think that I am so happy about that.
I think there's no question it made such a difference to people, because it meant that there was a certain normality that continued and people
absolutely
felt that you were, and you were playing to them as well, because they couldn't go anywhere.
They couldn't go anywhere, so we had to change the format. So in the I was talking to the audience like if they were, the concert hall was empty, but yeah, then we were talking like, look, you are our audience.
Exactly.
You are there.
Exactly.
The other side.
Exactly. No, I know. Now, before we go any further, because I want to talk about the fact you're on tonight and tomorrow. By golly, they work you hard. a couple of weeks ago, you were doing a guillotine thing that we found a copy of. This is very funny. When, unless you happen to be receiving the guillotine.
I mean, I was, if you're at the receiving end, we were performing Symphony Fantastique.
Yes.
And then I thought, well, lots of people know about the story, but I thought, I'm going to tell the audience what is this about.
And by golly, did you. This is it.
Then you hear the clarinet thinking, he's doing the tune of Harriet, thinking to... And then comes the guillotine, and then the extraordinary thing, after the con, then you will hear kum, pum, 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 of the pizzicatos of the strings, and this is the head going kum, 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 into the basket. You think I'm joking?
Fantastic. But you know what's lovely about that? You're putting, you're taking the music and you're bringing it to the people in a real sense, because people then fully understand what it is that the music is portraying.
Well, the thing is that with music is something extraordinary, because for some people that are not so familiar with music or orchestral music or
yes,
concerts,
yes,
they are a bit afraid of music sometimes. They say, oh, you know, what's going on in the concert hall? What's
because
going on?
They don't know it.
Because they don't know it. And yeah, actually, I think it is very important to communicate to the audience that this is something very alive.
Yes.
And although it was written maybe 100 years ago or whatever, it was, you know, this was the rock and roll of the time.
Yes, that's right,
I mean,
that's right.
It was
that's
like right. And there is, you know, for me, to meet people, could be a taxi driver, could be someone. For instance, I did a wonderful walking tour of Dublin few months ago, you know, because I wanted to find out things. I did an amazing tour with a fantastic guide. So at the end of the tour, I said to this guide, oh, you know, I work. I said, have you ever been to the concert hall? I said, no. Why do you say that? I said, because I conduct the orchestra. I said, would you like to come tomorrow?
Yes.
I said, I've never been, all right, yeah. So I got his email, I sent him tickets, and then I should read to you the emails. I mean, he said that I've never been, and I could not believe, he said, I am so energized after this. I think he came to a performance of, that was the Alpine Symphony or something, that was last season, and the emails he wrote to me after that, he now comes often. And
yeah,
and I find so fascinating to see new people coming to the concert
because
hall and
yeah,
being impressed by the sound.
But, yeah, well, and it's so big with the,
yeah,
with the National Symphony Orchestra. And for him, you opened up a whole new world to that guy, because he had, in his own city, all this going on. And it just had never occurred to
him. I opened a world for him, he opened a world for me.
Well, for sure.
And then in the end, that's what we have. I mean,
that's right.
I think in the end, it's a question of curiosity. You know, you have a city like Dublin.
And having an open mind.
With so many things, you know.
Yeah, you've got to
and
be.
And you can go to see a rugby match, or you can go and have a pint of Guinness, which actually I did yesterday.
Good man.
But you can go to the National Concert Hall.
Yes, and you can go tonight, by the way, because 7:30, you're conducting the National Symphony Orchestra tonight. Glinka, Gerald Barry and Stravinsky. Before we go any further, and there's a children's event I want to talk about, the Symphony Shorts tomorrow. So that's why I say they're working you really hard. Of course, you started out as a flute player, as a little boy. Why the flute? Why not?
Well, it was the only reason I play the flute is because I wanted to play the violin. I mean,
oh, right, of course.
Of course.
Well, thank you for that.
You
that's great. Yeah.
No, I I heard an orchestra when I was eight for the first time in my life. My father took me to what I thought was going to be the most boring 2 hours in my life.
Yes.
And I loved it so much that I wanted to play the violin. In my city in Santander, north of Spain, at that time, and at that time was Franco was still ruling. So Spain was in a dictatorship in that time. So that makes me very old. Ooh. Anyway, but
when you look half your age, then.
But you know, at that, the only way to learn the violin was to have a private teacher. But I am the oldest of six. We are six brothers and sisters. We lived in a small 65 square meter flat, the eight of us. So my parents could not afford violin lessons. So flute through the wind band in Santander was free. So, and, but I wanted to do something. So violin was not possible. So I thought, well, what is possible to do for free? And the options were flute or trumpet. And so I started playing the flute. And then
I love
the
that
flute
story.
Became such an important part of my life. Then that's why I came to London. I was principal flute of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
And the
London Philharmonic.
Martin in the Fields. You were principal
Martin in the Fields. I was there. I worked with Neville Mariner. Actually, next year, I am conducting some concerts to celebrate the 100th birthday of Neville Mariner in London.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. For me, he was a very important person. Actually, Neville was the person that encouraged me to conduct at some point. He said,
really?
Jaime, you should conduct. And then I said, but Neville, why do you say that? He said, well, you are already conducting from your flute chair.
Right.
And then I said, well, is that good or bad? Are you praising me or are you telling me
exactly.
off?
It's very hard to play the flute and conduct, in fairness.
No, but what he means, maybe I was taking initiative.
He noticed it. He saw.
And he said, you should do that. He said, you are 40-something now. He said, this is exactly the same age I started conducting, because Neville was the leader of the Academy of St. Martin the Fields from the first violin chair, and at some point, because the repertoire became bigger, and rather than doing Baroque, Concerto Grossi, they started doing Mozart symphonies, Beethoven symphonies. They needed somebody to put a bit of order in the proceedings.
He was the one.
That's Neville standing up.
Well, speaking of Mozart and speaking of flutes, this is you, a little bit of the flute concerto, just to give people a sense, just in case you happen to decide to go back to the flute again. We're listening, as we are, to the Flute Concerto No. 1 in D. That's Mozart. That's from an album, Jaime, is it?
Yes, actually, it's a flute quartet.
Yes.
That was, I remember when we recorded that with the Brindisi Quartet in London. That was for EMI.
Yes.
And, The people always say that Mozart hated the flute. I don't believe it, because this
That's
is
beautiful.
Lovely music.
It's absolutely beautiful. Can I ask you a question? I mean, conducting, yes, but do you still play? Do you still play the flute?
Actually, funnily enough, next month I am going to perform this flute quartet you were playing now in Los Angeles with the principal players of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra.
Go away.
For and it's like it's a small concert, you know, it's for sponsors and sure. owners of the orchestra. And I thought that would, you know, they wanted me to play something anyway. So I am going to.
Isn't that lovely?
I'm going to take the flute.
Oh, that's
and I try to play as much as I can, but unfortunately yes. I haven't for some time. But
well, you're conducting,
now,
you're
actually,
busy.
Now suddenly I'm getting worried, you know, about it. Now listening to this, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is.
Oh, I don't
This is in 3 or 4 weeks' time. I have to do that. So I have to start playing the flute when I arrive.
Sure, to practice. Well, now tonight it's at 7:30 in the concert hall, and it's Matthew MacDonald on the double bass, Glinka, Gerald Barry, and Stravinsky.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, Gerald Barry is, I think, one of the amazing personalities you have in this country.
Yes.
In Ireland. I mean, he is a fabulous composer. And this piece we are performing now was premiered by the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra last year. It was written for the principal double bass of the Berlin Philharmonic, Matthew MacDonald, who is coming today
and
to
is
play
that,
with us.
And is this an Irish premiere?
Of course.
Ah.
It has only been performed in Berlin.
That's fantastic.
This piece,
that's
last year. And it is a fabulous piece. And Matthew is an amazing soloist and double bass as a soloist.
It's quite, that's going to be quite something to watch.
I think most people in the audience will probably have never seen a double bass being the leading voice. And anyway, that's a fantastic piece. And as I said, Gerald Barry, I am so impressed with his music. And of course, in the second half, we are going to do the full ballet. Not just the suite, but the complete ballet of the Firebird, which is an amazing piece.
Are you, and have you rehearsed with Matthew already?
Yeah, we had rehearsed awesome. Yesterday and the day before, so he's
but
so
that
happy.
That must have been very exciting.
Sorry?
That must have been very exciting, just the whole, that moment.
Of course it's very exciting, especially because, I mean, for me it's a new piece, for the orchestra it's a new piece. Always to do a new piece is very exciting and very dangerous.
But with him the difference,
But having the composer there... the composer came on the first rehearsal, and actually, he was so happy, which is so nice. You know, when you get the composer appreciating the work you are putting, and it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, and the orchestra.
Yes.
The orchestra was so incredibly fantastic on that first reading of the piece, because it's a very difficult piece, and everybody did so well. So I am really very thrilled about
That's
this.
That's lovely. When does your tenure end with the orchestra?
Well, this is my last year. Originally, my first contract finished 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it was extended.
But we extended also because of the pandemic and all that. So this is my last
year. And are you able to stay if they offered you another extension?
Well,
could you stay?
I think my plan is to come sometimes.
Yes.
We did talk about that in the
sure.
last year, you know, with but I think I did accept a job with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Well, that's a long
years
way
ago,
away.
Which is and so at the moment, I think it's a good moment.
Yes, I know that.
To move on you know, I think the orchestra will find a person for the future, and like always happens in these cases.
Into next year. You're here till into next year. Because I know you're with Sheikh Kana Mason. I know that's
happening. I think that's in January,
in January, yes.
And so I'm really looking forward, because with Sheikh I have performed in several occasions, even in Melbourne. I mean, he came to do Shostakovich with me with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. Excellent. And actually we did try to have him last year, but it was difficult with dates. So finally, we have him. And actually, to have him doing the Elgar Cello Concerto, I think that will be a treat for everybody.
It will, and we're going to play a little bit of that to take us out. The other thing I want to say is your symphony shorts for children and families tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
12:30.
Yeah.
And it is, Jesse Grimes is being the presenter, but you're conducting that tomorrow.
I is.
And that'll be mayhem. There'll be everywhere. There'll be children everywhere.
I hope so.
Yes.
but I love, well, this, look, even this little clip you did with Symphony Fantastique, this was not a concert for children. It was a normal Friday concert.
Yes.
And then I was telling the audience about guillotines and about chopped heads and about things like that.
But so that's okay.
So I think with kids in the concert hall, I think we are going to have a ball.
You are, and it goes back to you being 8 and learning the flute and getting an interest in music and that's what that's about.
You know, the reason I'm a musician is because when I was 8, I went to this concert hall in Santander thinking this is going to be awful. And I loved it so much, and I had tears in my eyes.
Changed your life?
And it, of course, changed my life, but now every time I do a concert, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter if it's in Carnegie Hall or it's in the smallest little church in a little town when there are few people, you think there could be one person there that will become. And that's for me, this is a motivation.
That's fantastic. I have to say, Jaime Martín, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you for dressing up, especially.
Oh
yes, style will out, you see. Our winner this morning, Mary Clare in Kilkenny, heading off to the Magic Flute in the Opera House in... When is it coming up? The Magic Flute in the Opera House in Cork and the overnight and everything. A little taste of Elgar's Cello Concerto with the great Seachar Kenner Mason. Jaime, God bless you. Safe journeys. God bless.